भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text number 39. This is the perfection of renunciation. Yad agre chanubande cha sukham mohanam atmanaha nidralasya Pramadottam tat tamasam udaritam yadagre chanubande cha yadagre chanubande cha sukham mohanam atmanaha Sukham mohanam atmanaha Nidralasya pramadottam Nidralasya pramadottam Tathamasam udaritam Tathamasam udaritam Yadagre chanubande cha Sukham mohanam atmanaha Nidralasya pramadottam Tathamasam udaritam Yadagre chanubande cha Sukham mohanam atmanaha Nidralasya pramadottam Tathamasam udaritam That which agre in the beginning cha also anubande at the end cha also sukham happiness, mohanam, illusory, atmanaha, of the self, nidra, sleep, alasya, laziness, pramada, and illusion, uttam, produced of, tat, that tamasam in the mode of ignorance udharitam is said to be translation and that happiness which is blind to self-realization which is delusion from beginning to end and which arises from sleep Laziness and illusion is said to be of the nature of ignorance, responsibly. And that happiness, which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Purport. One who takes pleasure in laziness and in sleep is certainly in the mode of darkness or ignorance. And one who has no idea how to act and how not to act is also in the mode of ignorance. For the person in the mode of ignorance, everything is illusion. There's no happiness either in the beginning or at the end. For the person in the mode of passion, there might be some kind of ephemeral happiness in the beginning, and at the end, distress. But for the person in the mode of ignorance, there is only distress, both in the beginning and at the end. Yadagre chanubande cha sukam mohanam atmanah nidralasya pramadottam tatam samudaritam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. So here, Lord Krishna is describing how there are men in this world who are constantly miserable. There is no happiness in life for them. Both agre, in the beginning, and anubande, at the end, everything they do is a source of pain. We might wonder who fits into that category. Well, people who are alcoholics, often their lives are completely miserable. You probably don't have such a problem here. I don't think Ljubljana is very large. I know the whole country is only 2 million people, so you cannot imagine what it is like for a city where the population is 15 million. That's just one city, like New York. In New York, there is a whole part of the town where there are alcoholics. And of course, there are wealthy alcoholics, but these are people who have so much, they're so much down, they have such bad karma. Many of them at one time or another might have been presidents of companies or managers of businesses or even sports heroes or whatever. But in this part of town, you will find the same people who are lying in the street. In the Prabhupada Lilamrita, we hear how Srila Prabhupada actually started the Krishna consciousness movement in an area known as the Bowery, B-O-W-E-R-Y, the Bowery, which was famous for its bums. And literally, you could see on the side of the road, day or night, people lying down on the pathway, on the footpath, or even on the side of the road in the gutter. And they were so much addicted to their intoxication that they would drink anything to get high, to get stoned. They would drink anything that had any alcohol in it that they could afford, because wine might be a little expensive for them. They would simply beg some money and tried to buy their daily wine, which they were addicted to. So they might buy some shaving lotion and drink that to get drunk. So you can imagine the lives of such people. constantly suffering. Drug addicts, the same way. Those serious drug addicts who are addicted to heroin or methadrin or methadone or now this crack, what do you call it? Crack, but there's another name for it. Cocaine. Their lives also are in complete distress or misery. Just at the end of the hippie movement, Srila Prabhupada used to say how the hippies came from well-to-do American families. They were not really from poor families. Many of them were from middle-class or upper-middle-class families. But they wanted to renounce the world. And that was a good ambition. They could see that material life was frustrating. They could see the Vietnam War, or they could see the hypocrisy and cheating in government. Just recently, I read something about some big minister in, where was it? I think Czechoslovakia, who admitted that his previous policy, anti-war policy, he was supporting the NATO bombing. And but he said his previous anti-war policy was more based upon Bob Dylan than it was upon any practical or rational thought. Have you heard of Bob Dylan? Huh? Yeah. They're coming soon. When can we get tickets? He was our guru, actually. Him and others, but he was the head founder acharya. So he had so many insights into what was wrong with society, but he had no solutions because his life was a total mess also. So the hippies, they had a good desire to renounce the world, but because they had no knowledge of a better life, they became degraded. And as they became degraded, they got more and more into drugs. And it started out with marijuana and LSD and mescaline, which supposedly brought on beatific vision. This word beatific means some kind of religious holy illusion or vision or whatever. So supposedly LSD took you to a higher stage of consciousness, according to all the LSD gurus. But it ended up that the hippie movement gave birth to the drug movement. And therefore, I had the opportunity to witness people who were addicted to various hard drugs. And I saw that their lives were really miserable. Day and night, they were simply thinking, although interacting with one another on various levels, but constantly in their mind, they were thinking how to get their next fix, F-I-X, fix, their next dose of heroin or cocaine or whatever it was. So, drug addicts constantly suffering in anxiety. Criminals in general. Criminals are always worried about getting caught, spending time in jail. They're always worried about something or other, criminals, and especially murderers in jail. In jail, more people become criminals, hardcore criminals, when they go to jail than at any other place. The jail is actually the best place to produce hardcore criminals because the atmosphere there is very, very bad. The consciousness, you can just imagine. And there are the people who run the jail system, they simply guard the jail from the outside. They really don't care much what happens amongst, they just figure all the prisoners are bad, so let them have their own hellish life. And so it's a jungle in there. The law of the weak ruling the strong. Jivo jivasya jivanam. But here we have people very much in the mode of ignorance, controlling. So criminals are constantly in the mode of ignorance. And there may be many others that you can think of. But the point is that such a kind of illusory happiness is described here as the mode of ignorance, and it leads one down. From the mode of ignorance, one goes down into various species of life. Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Mudhoyam navijanati. Such persons in the mode of ignorance, envious persons, I cover by my illusory energy. I never reveal myself to them. They are mudhas, they are fools. And navijanati, they can never know me. Self-realization takes place from the mode of goodness. There is no hope of self-realization in the mode of ignorance. One is condemned. One is completely destined, completely trapped. And the only thing he can expect is more and more misery. So, intoxication, sleep, laziness, these are some of the characteristics of a person in the mode of ignorance. And, of course, laziness, there's a good kind of laziness also. Prabhupada talks about lazy, intelligent people. There are four kinds of men. There's the lazy, intelligent, and the active, intelligent. Then there's the lazy, foolish, and the active, foolish. So the most intelligent is the lazy, intelligent, like a high court judge. A high court judge, he's actually quite lazy, doesn't do much. He sits around on his bench all day long. But he's very systematic and very intelligent. Very educated person, high court judge. And then there's an active, intelligent person, but intelligence has to be used very soberly, carefully. Otherwise, you will become degraded. And, of course, a lazy, foolish person, there are actually not so many of those. There's a Bengali story about a king who wanted to see how many lazy people there were in his kingdom. So he told his ministers to advertise that any lazy men in the kingdom could come and have free food at the charity house. They had one big hall where they would distribute free food to any lazy men. So many people came from all over the kingdom, and they were all claiming, yes, I'm very lazy, I want free meals. So pretty soon the hall was filled up, and they were distributing thousands and thousands of meals. So then the king had the ministers start a fire, and they burned down the house. Everybody ran out, except for two men. And one man said to the other, while they were lying down eating, he said, my back is getting a little hot. So the other man said, just roll over on your other side. So then the king said, these are two lazy men, feed them. So actual lazy men, lazy, foolish men are there. But we have to see who's actually lazy. Mostly people are who are under the influence of some kind of intoxication. Here the Prabhupada groups the two words, laziness and illusion, to discriminate from a lazy, intelligent person. So laziness and illusion. Devotees of the Lord, they restrict their association. Although in the highest stage of an Uttama Adhikari, one sees everyone equally, but on the Madhyama platform, in the there's a description in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I forget the actual conversation. I think King Nimi. Anyway, there it's discussed that Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu dvisatsucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti sa madhyama. A real madhyama is someone who discriminates. He sees four kinds of person. He sees the Lord, whom he worships. He sees the devotees of the Lord, whom he makes friends with. Prema Maitri, makes friends with them. Maitri means friendship. Kripopeksha. And Dvishatsu, those who are envious, he avoids them. And the innocent, those who are perhaps in any mode, in the mode of passion, even in the mode of ignorance, but only out of ignorance, he'll try to uplift them. A devotee's attitude is to, people are suffering due to ignorance, therefore let me distribute the teachings of Bhagavad Gita so that people will have the choice. Let them make their own choice. You can't force someone. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. The problem today is that people have no access. There's no university. There's no educational institution where people can learn about philosophy. Formerly, everyone learned in school classical philosophy. Even in the Western countries, people learned Greek philosophy and they learned about the Roman Empire and their ideas, and they learned so many things. French, I remember in my days that the electives in our school, you could elect, you could had so many fixed courses, but there were things that you could elect to take that you add on to your course. And there were things like Latin, which I took 4 years of Latin, French, and Greek, and one could study the Iliad and the Odyssey, and one could study Socrates, etc. But today, people are just trained as computer technicians. That's, you know, everybody wants to become a computer technologist so he can get money so he can enjoy sense gratification. There's very little opportunity for people to awaken their higher intelligence, to awaken some higher consciousness. So the devotee wants to distribute knowledge, and therefore we have our book distribution, which is so important. People are really amazed when they read one of our books or when they hear a devotee. The most amazing thing is when someone comes in touch with a devotee and the devotee starts talking some philosophy and people say, where did you get this knowledge from? You know, it may be very simple, bhakti shastri knowledge or something, you know, very real, beginning stage Krishna consciousness. A few examples explaining how we're not the body, how, the soul has an eternal relationship with God and it goes through different changes, transmigration, explaining about reincarnation. And people are really surprised. They're very pleased also because they were thirsting after this kind of knowledge. They were secretly in their hearts. They were asking questions, but they were afraid to ask anyone around them for fear that they would appear different or odd. I used to ask my friends, in a group of friends, and we would actually talk about God in some of the communes that I lived in. We would get together as a group and maybe experiment with pharmaceuticals. And then we would talk about spiritual life, or we'd talk about God. Well, of course, it was a hippie concept of God. It was, it's all a matter of where your head is, what your space is. God is to you whatever you want him to be, kind of thing. But at least we talked about it. But now, people are totally preoccupied with gross sense gratification. Mudhoyam, nabijanati. There's so much covered. In fact, it's hard to preach to such people because if someone is really such a fool, you have to discriminate. You really have to learn who is innocent and who is really envious of God. Because if someone is envious, then the preacher is advised to avoid such a person. One is advised not even to try and preach to them because it is Chanakya Pandit said, and it's one of those truisms that are quite obvious. Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya nashante. Upadesh, instruction, the Bhagavad Gita Upadesh. Jare deko jare taho Krishna Upadesh, whomever you see, whomever you meet, give them Krishna's instruction. So Upadesh o hi murkhanam. When you give Upadesh to an envious fool, prakopaya nashante, he doesn't become peaceful. He doesn't take your good instruction, but it's like giving milk to a serpent. Milk is wonderful, but the serpent uses the milk to increase his poison. So such envious persons, they may become even more inimical to the Lord, and they may commit offenses and cause a problem. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that one has to be very, very careful while preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya in this Kali Yuga, in the middle of so many demoniac persons. Because if you're not careful, then it may be like disturbing a hornet's nest. So we have to learn how to preach and how to, discretion is the better part of valor. In Kali Yuga, of course, if someone blasphemes the Lord, there are certain things you can do. You can defeat him by words, or you can take your own life, or you can cut out his tongue. The first three, well, if you can do the first one, but it's highly unlikely. One is advised to actually leave the place, not to get entangled with someone who obviously is not going to change his life, who's envious. So, generally, people who are blind to self-realization, we were talking about this the other day, apashyatam atma tattvam griheshu griha medinam. Generally, they are householders, either officially or unofficially. In other words, they're married or they're living together. And they're attached to sense gratification, and they're in a deep, dark well. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, dharma projita koitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. And this word nirmatsaranam is translated as a paramahansa. So a paramahansa can be a sannyasi, or a paramahansa can be a grihastha also. Or Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was certainly a paramahansa. In fact, Thakur, the title Thakur is higher above paramahansa. But the basic qualification is that they're near Mutsar, or not envious of Krishna. Krishna says that I am explaining this science of Krishna consciousness to you, Arjuna, because you are my devotee, you are my friend, you are not envious of me. So, it is possible that someone can be acting like a devotee and still be envious of Krishna. But generally, someone who is engaged in devotional service, he is not envious of Krishna. And he is qualified to understand. But others, we can understand that their qualification will be given to them. It is our duty in our preaching to make people qualified, because at the present moment, and this was Advaitacharya's realization, and that was 500 years ago, Advaitacharya realized that he could not save the world. Although he was a very pure and powerful preacher, he's Krishna, he's the incarnation of Karanadakshaya Vishnu. But he felt himself unqualified to save people. Therefore, he prayed for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So, we're also not very qualified to even change ourselves. We're stuck in various modes from our previous conditioning. Partially passion and partially ignorance. We come from those backgrounds. What to speak of changing others? But the process of devotional service is so powerful that if we keep ourselves constantly fixed up, if we engage our senses, by force even, it practically we're not Raganuga Bhaktas. This is all just wishful thinking on the part of some people. So many people rushing off to Vrindavan to do their bhajan. This is condemned by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and those Babaji's and sannyasis from Vrindavan who are encouraging Westerners, or anyone for that matter, to go to Vrindavan, to go to Radhakund, and to do some bhajan there. They are participating in the greatest cheating business, and they will all have to suffer for that. We don't have much qualification, but whatever qualification we have, it is gained by engaging in sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, and engaging in the Sankirtan movement. This is our Raganuga. It is the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya. The Sankirtan movement is Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. And that is our qualification, that we're engaging somehow or other, just like the monkeys and the bears and the baboons that were engaged by Lord Ramchandra. They were low-class living beings. Monkeys are in the mode of ignorance. Lions are in the mode of passion, and cows are in the mode of goodness. Monkeys are in the mode of ignorance. But because they were engaged by Lord Ramchandra and followed him faithfully, therefore Hanuman became one of the greatest devotees ever in the history of Vaishnavism. So we also can rise up from this mode and become qualified by our service. We may not change our spots a whole lot. It's hard for a leopard to change its spots. It's hard to make a silk purse from a pig's ear. There's an English expression, a sow is called a pig, sow means a pig. So it's hard to make a silk purse from a sow's ear. And Prabhupada said, trying to preach in Kali Yuga to Westerners is like trying to make them Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. It's like trying to wash coal. Very difficult job to wash coal. But if we stick to this process, if we read from Bhagavad Gita and we understand that the former kinds of happiness that we were living are in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, and they won't bring us any ultimate satisfaction. But we can just learn these two verses here. If we can relate them to our former lives, and if we can become satisfied to living in the mode of goodness and aspiring to become devotees, sadhakas, if we can just achieve that much, then our ultimate perfection is guaranteed. We will be protected by Srila Prabhupada, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by all the great acharyas. So, I'll stop there. Are there any questions? It was very quiet. Janaki must have left, huh? Okay. Yes. Well, I don't think that's you, so you don't have to worry about that. I asked Prabhupada a similar question, and I got kind of chastised, or because maybe the question itself wasn't so serious. Maybe I just wanted to hear myself ask a question. But I asked Prabhupada that he was talking about being serious. One has to be sincere and serious in devotional service. So I said that What can a person do if he's not sincere and serious? So then the first thing Prabhupada did was kind of laugh. It seemed to me it was a little derisively. He laughed. In other words, what a stupid thing to say. But then he went on to say, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadad na kiti kutopi. That by the mercy of another Vaishnava, one can become qualified, purified, etc. We don't try to directly worship God. We worship God, but we also worship His devotees. And we petition the devotee. We pray to the devotee to help us to get the Lord's mercy. Just like sometimes you want to meet some very important person, but you're a little shy to meet them. So you'll ask someone else, please, can you ask so-and-so this question on my behalf? You know, can you ask them to give me some special favor or something? So, that is the process also. Krishna says that one who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But one who says he's devotee of my devotee, he is actually my devotee. So, we have this process of sadhu seva, Vaishnav seva, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha. We worship and offer respect to all of our teachers. And by their mercy, we will get Krishna's mercy and even their mercy, their own mercy. Generally, the Vaishnavas who are experienced, generally they have a nice personality. They have changed. If they've been practicing Krishna consciousness for a number of years. I mean, yesterday I was quoting one Leela where Prabhupada said 12 years. You know, if you chant Hare Krishna for 12 years and follow the principles, then everything you say will be perfect. But even if one practices for 20 years or 25 years or whatever it is, generally you'll find that those devotees have undergone a heart transplant from a cold, calculating heart to a compassionate heart. And they want to. They're very happy and very delighted to share their realizations and to bless devotees. They want to see everyone advance. Prahlad Maharaj said that Maya Sukhaya Varam Udbahato Vimudhan. I have Krishna and I have Nrisingadeva. I'm peaceful. I could go off on a mountain and in a cave, or I can be anywhere in the universe and be satisfied because I'm constantly thinking of the Lord and He's always blessing me. But I really do become disturbed when I see that Maya Sukhaya, people think that there's some happiness in this world. They're actually foolish. And I want to try and help them. So that is the attitude of experienced Vaishnavas. So if you take shelter and, you can also transform yourself, become more serious. Yes? One who follows the process will make great spiritual advancement. There's no need of any extra austerities or special pujas or special kinds of austerities in some holy place. No. If one simply chants 16 rounds every day, and if he has any difficulty, then he makes that up or tries his best to keep on track. If one rises early and has a morning program, an early morning program, preferably an hour and a half before sunrise, best of all is to come to the temple for Mangal Arati. If one reads from Srila Prabhupada's books every day, making it part of his, just like eating, we wouldn't ever think, no matter where we were in the world, whether we left Slovenia and went to Italy or went to Germany or went to America, we wouldn't think of not eating. We still will have 3 square meals a day or whatever we eat. That's part of our routine. It's need-based. We feel a hunger. So devotees should also feel a hunger, a need-based need. My sadhana, it's important to me. It's part of my vision of my life. If, without being a hypocrite, I must follow my sadhana. So, something every day, sadhana. And if one tries to help Srila Prabhupada push on his movement, in whatever way he can, whether he's a brahmachari going out on Harinam and book distribution, or a householder doing his business and trying to get some people at his job a little interested, one may go slowly or one may go quickly, but some effort should be there to preach. Our mission is preaching. If one does these things and lives his life peacefully with his wife and children, not finding fault, avoiding fault finding, avoiding politics, just happy to get through. Life is temporary, and you have to get through you have to get over the ocean, cross over the ocean. You have to get through the jungle of the material world without committing any aparads. That's the goal. To keep your, aparad score very low. Just like they have these pinball games and video games, etc. And some goal to either keep your score low or keep your score high while you go through the whole process. Well, we've got, the game's going to end at a certain time, 50, 60 years goes very quickly. This is not your permanent place. Don't get attached here. Don't get so, to think that you've got to become perfectly situated materially. Even if you're a failure materially, if you can just keep your devotional principles, you win. Even if you're a failure materially. But if you are the most successful person in the world, but you sell your soul, you're a loser because you got to come back again and again. You're a loser. What profiteth a man if he gains the whole world and loses his imperishable soul? It's not hard to be Krishna conscious, but you have to make some effort. But it's within everybody's reach. Hearing. One should put himself, even you don't, not accustomed, but we should attend classes. Even if the man giving class knows less than we do, or whatever. Even we can offer to give class, but Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidunoti Suritsatam. This will cleanse your heart by putting yourself in an atmosphere where the vibrations, where the energy is transcendental, where you're absorbed, you're caught up in an energy, a mood, and you're being purified. It's mystical, it's magical, it's wonderful. But it requires cultivation. Yat tad agre vishamiva. In the beginning, a little work to it. After some time, you like to do it. You like to come to arati. You know, you don't have to lead the arati. Just stand in the back, if you like, and enjoy the holy name. Come to class. The whole process, susukam kartum avyayam, very nice way of life Prabhupada has given us. We owe so much to him for this valuable gift, but we shouldn't spoil it either. We should keep it pure. We try our best. We keep our ideals high. Even though we're striving to attain those ideals, we should never lower them. Well, the question is, why after 10, 20 years, 30 years, there was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a professor, very learned scholar. His name was Niti Sanyal. He wrote some book, which I think some people have seen. I forget the Life and Precepts of Chaitanya. I forget what it was. Anyway, he was a professor. And who's one of the leading devotees of the Gaudiya Mutt. And after, sometime after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta left, he also fell down and left. But then about 6 months later, he was in a car accident and died. He got mercy. Well, there's many things. First of all, from moment to moment, it's always your call. It's your choice. No, it's your call. You decide. Yiyata mam prapadyante. There's never a time when you're going to reach a stage where you don't have to endeavor to be Krishna conscious. Now, the atmosphere in this Kali Yuga, in this material world, is directly opposed to the mode of goodness or to devotional service. We're constantly bombarded by different kinds of stimuli trying to entice us to take intoxication, engage in meat eating, to have illicit sex. Illicit sex is everywhere. And it's almost like, and this is not really a big exaggeration, it's a question of standard. If you knew what a high-class Indian standard was, and you see what we have in the West, it's almost like living in a brothel. We're living in a brothel. A brothel means a, you know, brothel? A whorehouse. You know whorehouse? A place where they sell sex. So, amateur, but practically is going on. Everybody is under the attraction. Everyone's being hit by Cupid's arrows. So, for us to keep ourselves strong, it requires some effort. Now, after some time, A, one becomes practiced, regulated, so it becomes easier. Anything that you regulate becomes easier. And B, one gets a little bit of a taste for a higher life. But that taste is a subtle taste. And it does grow, it does continue to grow, but one has to be patient. Again, time is such an amazing thing. We want everything instantly, and you can't have the greatest gift instantly unless you're a Kripa Siddha or something, unless you get some kind of divine dispensation where, you know, no effort at all and automatically you're in the spiritual world. That's rare. A student has to go through. I was just talking to one devotee, and she's in her first or second year, and she's going to law school, and she's going to have to study 8 years. So she wants that law degree. She's going to have to wait year after year, studying every year, but still haven't got the law degree. She's going to have to be patient. A woman wants a child, but on her wedding night, she can't, you know, the next day morning, oh, I got a child, great, this is what marriage is all about. She's got to wait for a little while, minimum 9 months. So patience is required. Patience is a virtue. So time, it may take the whole lifetime to really experience a higher taste so that, I mean, who of us? Prabhupada gave the definition of a sannyasi. A sannyasi is one who can, this is, you know, sannyasi with a capital S and a capital A and a capital, anyway. He can remain alone in a room with naked, he can remain naked alone in a room with naked women and not be disturbed, not be in the least bit agitated. So, you know, who is there that is so free from lust that he can do that? So, why can he do that? Because he's just got a higher taste. Naranarayan Rishi was performing austerity, and Indra became envious of him and wanted to break his austerity, so he sent some of the heavenly apsaras there to try and entice him. So Naranarayan Rishi is none other than the Supreme Lord, and from his body, so many beautiful damsels began coming, emanating from his body. You know, Lord Shiva, he's the perfect example of steadiness. He was totally undisturbed. Who was it that worshipped his linga? Parvati, no? Maybe it was Parvati, Kartik, anyway. No, it was somebody else who was sent by Indra, and he got very upset and blasted her. Anyway, he totally undisturbed. So many influences. Lab, puja, pratishta. So that's why we need each other. That's why we need sadhu sangha, association, to keep ourselves strong. If we didn't have these classes, morning and evening classes, if we didn't read Prabhupada's books, if we didn't keep going over and over again the reasons why we're doing what we're doing, it's very simple but profound philosophy. But if we lost touch with this, we would easily melt. We would get carried away, any one of us. So one of the biggest things is, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Humpty Dumpty sat, I don't know, how's that, Humpty Dumpty, whatever. The bigger the person is, the harder they fall. If they become that story of Lord Ramchandra and the dog, you know that story. You've heard that story, right? Huh? I told that story before. Yeah, I have. Lord Ramchandra had a gate at which he anybody in the kingdom could find fault or criticize his management. He wanted to hear criticism, but he was so expert that nobody would ever find any fault. Everybody loved him. So every day he would send his minister to this gate in the palace to find out if anyone found fault. And the minister would keep coming back and saying, no, no. And Ramchandra would say, are you sure? Are you sure? No, no, nobody had any fault today. So then one day, Lord Ramchandra was asking his minister, are you sure there's nothing, nobody? And the minister said, well, there was, nah, but that's nothing, don't worry about it. No, 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 tell me, what is it? Well, there was one dog. Who cares for a dog? And Ramchandra said, no, no, what did the dog have to say? Well, he was complaining about some brahmana. Immediately called the dog. So the dog said that I was sleeping. It was a sunny afternoon. I was sleeping on the side of the road. I was minding my own business. I wasn't bothering anyone. And all of a sudden, this brahmana walks across the road. For no reason at all, he just hauls off and gives me a big kick. Completely disturbed my sleep, injured me. I'm very upset about it. I want to file a complaint. So Lord Ramchandra said, this is not good. So he called the brahmana there. And the brahmana said, yeah, I had a bad day at the office. You know how it goes. I did it. So then Lord Ramchandra said, well, he has to be punished. But you're not supposed to punish a brahmana. Old men, children, women, and brahmanas are not to be seriously punished. So his ministers were confused what to do. So finally they decided to ask the dog what the punishment should be. So then the dog said, you should make that brahmana the head of the biggest temple in your kingdom. He should be the mahant. They call it mahant, the mahatma, of the biggest temple in your kingdom. So then Lord Ramchandra said to the dog, well, what kind of punishment is that? And the dog said, well, in my last life, I used to be the mahant of that temple. And I would ride everywhere on a big palanquin and people would worship me and I would chastise them and hit them and this and that. And now this is where I am. So, not easy. You have to be very careful. But practically speaking, we should know that anyone who has had contact with Srila Prabhupada, his mission, Lord Chaitanya, their service has not gone in vain. They have not lost anything. Their devotional service has been interrupted, but not ended. It's just the leela of Krishna, the leela of the great devotees, not easy to understand. We should be more concerned at the time of death, what will my state of consciousness be? Will I be able to say to Krishna, well, Krishna, actually, I wasn't Krishna conscious. I was eating meat, taking intoxication, chasing after women, because my GBC men fell down. Is that a good enough reason, Krishna? No. His life and your life are totally separate. You have to be responsible for your life. No one else is going to be responsible for you. So, maybe someone, you don't know what his state of consciousness was. You don't know what Krishna's plan is. But you should find out Krishna's lotus feet. And if you can find a better book than Bhagavad Gita, do it. If you can find a better book than Srimad Bhagavatam or a better mantra than the Maha Mantra, do it. Go for it. But don't do anything. Don't make excuses. Don't get into the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion again. Directly, people have trouble because of different kinds of offenses. Otherwise, there's no obstacle. People make mistakes. Therefore, we need to encourage one another in a friendly mood how to avoid offenses. That will be the best service that we can render to each other, is to create an environment of mutual service and avoid Vaishnava aparads, the 10 offenses to the holy name. Avoid them. Practice. Memorize them. I don't know here, but in many temples in the world, we used to, and many they still do, chant the 10 offenses every morning. So, important not just to parrot-like recite them, but to think about them. What does it mean to blaspheme the pure devotees? What does it mean to, consider the holy name to be one of the ritualistic activities? Was that actually, am I doing that? Am I thinking that this chanting of Hare Krishna is just another kind of religious routine? Or do I really have strong faith in the holy name that it's special? That Krishna is the holy name? Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say that, dear Lord, when I chant, I'm offensive and I feel that I'm bruising your body. I'm putting a bruise on your body by my offensive chanting. In other words, he was thinking that the holy name is Krishna, and when he chanted, he was thinking that. So we should try to think about that. What does it mean when to chant inattentively? There's so many ways. There's a nice book out now by Sachinandan Swami on chanting of the holy names. It's very nicely published and very nicely written. And devotees should read that and improve their chanting. Any other questions? Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.